From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. Today, I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes in our program, and we'll give you some segments, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Make sure to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Stakeholders urged to conduct integrated management of water resources. Observers says President Joko Widodo must appoint credible and visionary ministries to advance Indonesia's human resources. Now the news in details. The Public Works and Housing Ministry has urged stakeholders to jointly manage water resources from upstream to downstream as a part of the Integrated Water Resources Management IWRM approach. Integrated Water Resources Management, or IWRM, is a new approach to develop the management of water resources that pays attention to the environment. Secretary of the Public Works and Housing Ministry, Anita Firmanti, noted, in a written statement released on Monday, the management of water resources can be conducted in a comprehensive and integrated manner, analogous to the environment-friendly concept to ascertain the sustainable use of water for public welfare. IWRM requires a river basin-based method as its main entity. Hence, as a river basin organizations, RBO, River Area Centers of the Public Works and Housing Ministry, and State Drinking Water Company Perum Jasa Tirta function as a spearhead in the management of water resources in river areas, assisted by regional governments and residents group in the river community. Education observers from Paramadina University in Jakarta, Toto Amin, hope that President Joko Widodo could choose competent ministers who are capable of developing Indonesian human resources in order to become more competitive and qualified. It was said by Toto Amin Tuantara in Jakarta on Sunday. In addition to being capable of advancing Indonesian human resources, Jokowi's future ministers should also possess uprightness and integrity. For example, they must not involve in corruption, collusion, and nepotism. Affirming Toto's statement, education observer from Paramadina University Andreas Tambah pointed out that Jokowi's ministers should recognize the potentials and characteristics of the Indonesian nation. Furthermore, they also must be visionary figures who can utilize the potentials and opportunities in advancing the Indonesian nation. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB, Lieutenant General Doni Monardo, said that in accordance with the instruction of Indonesian President Joko Widodo, regional governments must arrange disaster mitigation plan. Doni Monardo also hoped that the law stipulating disaster mitigation plan would soon be issued. Doni Monardo explained that it is important for regional government to have disaster mitigation plan as each region possesses different characteristics of disasters. He also called on regional governments to coordinate and collaborate with Regional Representative Council, DPD, in managing budget for the management of disaster. He pointed out that with sufficient budget, regional government could manage disaster efficiently, responsibly, and effectively. The Indonesian Textiles Expert Association, ICATSI, positively welcomes the government's efforts to immediately issue the revisions of the Regulation of Trade Minister No. 69, year 2017, about the rules of textiles and textiles products import. Chairman of ICATSI, Suharno Rusdi, on Sunday stated, that the revision brings great hope for the development of Indonesia's textiles industry. Ikatsi hoped that the revision of the regulation is not merely lip service, but it can bring about significant changes for the growth of Indonesia's textiles and textile products industry. He also hoped that the regulation could be implemented properly. This news comes to you from Erariwa Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The tourist sector has become a new engine of economic growth amid slowing domestic spending and cooling exports following heightened global economic turbulence. Indonesian government has set a plan to develop 10 super-prioritized tourist destinations, dubbed the New Balis, to support such a strategy. It also expects to welcome 20 million foreign tourists into the country. The Jakarta Post's Adrian Wail Akhlas sat down recently with Vikas Pola, Booking.com's regional director in South Asia Pacific, to learn about his perspective on the rapidly growing travel industry in the region and in Indonesia. He shared his views about the country's tourism industry and development, as well as his company's strategy to benefit from the sector's expansion as Booking.com aims to promote sustainable travel and boost Indonesia's tourism. Typhoon Hagibis, slamming Japan on Saturday and Sunday, will not impact the weather condition and waves in Indonesia. Based on the analysis of the Japanese Meteorological Agency JMA on Sunday, October 13, escorted by Republica, Typhoon Hagibis has left Japan and moved to the northwestern Pacific Ocean. Despite the strong scale, the intensity of Typhoon Hagibis has declined. Currently, the winds of Hagibis are 60 knots. Previously, 12 hours ago, the winds were recorded at 75 knots. The Indonesian Embassy in The Hague, in collaboration with the Netherlands Pencaksilat Federation, or NPSF, held the Pencaksilat European Open 2019 at the sport campus Zweder Park, The Hague, from October 12 to 13, 2019. The Pencaksilat European Open 2019 was opened directly by Indonesian Ambassador to the Kingdom of the Netherlands, I Gusti Agung Bosaka Puja. Based on the press release of the Indonesian Embassy in The Hague, Ambassador Puja told that the Indonesian Embassy in The Hague fully supports the event. He also expressed his pride that the Netherlands was appointed to host the event. The implementation of the tournament is also in line with the plan of the Indonesian government to bring Pencaksilat to the 2028 Olympics. Meanwhile, President of the Netherlands Pencaksilat Federation, Oliver Blankert, extended his appreciation for the Indonesian Embassy in the Netherlands, which has supported the event. The tournament was participated in by a number of countries such as the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Germany, the UK, Russia, Switzerland, Azerbaijan, and Turkey. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Collision Met Ahead of President and Vice President Inauguration. Well, listener, it's still about a week ahead of before the inauguration of Indonesian President and Vice President, which is scheduled to take place on October 20, 2019. But the signal that non-coalition parties will join the Jokowi-Ma'ruf Amin coalition is increasingly clear. President Joko Widodo has invited two chairmen of these non-coalition parties to discuss their possibility to join the government. Last Thursday, October 10, President Joko Widodo met Democratic Party Chairperson Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono at the State Palace in Jakarta. It was the turn of General Chairperson of the Gerindra Party Prabowo Subianto, who was invited by President Joko Widodo to the State Palace. President admitted that in the two meetings, he discussed the possibility of Democratic Party and Gerindra to enter into a second period of his administration. The meeting certainly became a new chapter of President Joko Widodo's relationship with Prabowo and Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, who were in a different camp during 2019 elections. It is not wrong if President Joko Widodo calls for Gerindra and Democrat Party to join the coalition government later. Gerindra and Democrats are the two major parties outside the coalition of Joko Widodo-Ma'ruf. Although Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono did not provide information for the outcome of the meeting, in his contemplated speech some time ago, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono recommended Democratic cadres and the public to support the Jokowi-Ma'ruf Amin government. In fact, Democratic Party Secretary General, Hinka Panjaitan told reporters on Friday that his party is ready to join the cabinet if requested. Meanwhile, before President Joko Widodo, Prabowo said that he is ready to join the government coalition if needed. If in the end his cadre do not engage in the government, Prabowo promised that Gerindra should still help the government but in a different way. The possibility of Gerindra and Democratic parties to join the government is believed to change the map of the coalition in the next 5 years. It is certain that there will be seats in the Jokowi-Maruf cabinet for the cadres of the two parties. This means the Democratic Party and Gerindra, which originally would become the opposition parties and are expected to be a counterweight to the Jokowi-Maruf government, will support the government. In a democratic system, the opposition is very important. Its assistance is needed to control the government, so the possibility of tyranny can be minimized. However, so far, the political system in Indonesia does not recognize the opposition party. Even in deciding various problems, both in the DPR and MPR and other forums, Indonesians tend to seek deliberation to reach consensus, rather than voting, which is considered the last resource. Whereas in the democracy, voting is very normal and natural. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, for the next segment we give you today in history, stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on October 14, 1973 on Thailand Popular Rebellion. Thailand's Popular Rebellion on October 14, 1973 was a turning point in Thai history. On the day, thousands of students gathered on Jalan Raya Ratchadamun. The rebellion caused the end of the government of anti-communist junta military, Thanom Kittikachom, and changed Thai political system. The rebellion specially highlighted the increasing of Thai university students' influence in politics in Thailand. Next event is that in 1994, Yasser Arafat achieved Peace Nobel Award. Committee of Nobel presented Peace Nobel Award to three major figures in Middle East who were considered to have more important contributions for peace. Nobel was given on October 14, 1994 to Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat and to officials of Israel, Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Foreign Affairs Minister Shimon Peres, who have made Oslo Accords agreement related to the government of Palestine, which is independent. The last event is that in 2017, Mogadishu bombing occurred. In October 14, 2017, big explosion which was caused by bombing of truck in Mogadishu, the capital city of Somalia, killed around 327 people and injured almost 400 people. The truck was exploded after being stopped. Actually, the target of the attack was the residents of international agencies and forces. Although there was nobody recognizing the responsibility on the explosion, the authorities said that Al-Shabaab was responsible. The attack was the deadliest attack in history of Somalia, surpassed the 2011 Mogadishu bombing, which killed 100 people, and the deadliest attack in Africa. It was also the fifth deadliest act of terror in modern history. Responding to the bombing, President of Somalia, Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed, declared 3-day mourning. Listener, that was Today in History.
Bahagialah dengan apa yang kau punya. Walau hatimu merasa semua belum sempurna, sebenarnya kita sudah cukup semuanya. Bila dunia membuatmu kecewa karena semua cita-citamu tertunda, percayalah segalanya telah diatur semesta agar kita mendapatkan yang terindah. Impianmu terbangkanlah tinggi, tapi selalu pijakkan kaki di bumi. Senyumlah kembali, bahagiakan hari ini. Buatlah hatimu bersinar lagi. Bila ingin lebih damai di dunia, berbagilah bahagia yang telah kau punya. Kini hatimu terasa semua lebih sempurna karena kau hidup dengan seutuhnya.
Song titled Catatan Kecil or Small Notes by Adira. You're still with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we will listen to our program, My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries inaugurates 16 marine and fisheries development priority activities. The government, through the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, symbolically inaugurated 16 priority activities for marine and fisheries development on Thursday, October the 10th. The inauguration was directly led by the Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti, from the 1,000-ton cold storage location in the Muara Baru Fisheries Area, Penjaringan District, North Jakarta. The event was connected by video conference to several other inauguration locations. In addition to 1,000 tons of cold storage, other priority development activities that were inaugurated were the marine and fisheries centers in Sebatik, Merauke, Morotai, Talaut Biak Mimika, also Bandung Modern Fish Market, Pangandaran Feed Factory, Embung Pangandaran Marine and Fisheries Polytechnic in Bone, Kupang Jembrana, Wakatobi Community Academy, and the Quarantine Office of the Sebatik Work Area. Suci Pujiastuti wants a variety of marine and fisheries polytechnics that were built in various regions to help realize Industry 4.0 as the government has announced. She stated that the existing polytechnics must be in accordance with President Joko Widodo's mission to build reliable and competent human resources. According to Suci Pujiastuti, all the abundant natural resources available in the archipelago should be managed by human resources properly. If not, the selling value of the production will also not be optimal. She hopes that in the future at least 5 polytechnics will be built per year. Previously, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries encouraged educational institutions in the field of maritime affairs and fisheries to produce fisheries entrepreneurs who are able to help realize the vision of Indonesia as the world's maritime axis. Indonesia's fisheries production in 2018 has increased compared to 2017 by 1.41%. This is the impact of various ministries' fisheries management policies in 2015-2018, which have an impact on increasing fish stocks in the waters. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries inaugurates 16 marine and fisheries development priority activities. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Dihadapi, lalu mengapa kau diam saja, tak berdaya? Di belia usia, di masa yang paling indah, kau tampak tak bergairah. Sementara yang lainnya hidup seenaknya, seakan waktu takkan pernah ada akhirnya. Hanya mengejar kepentingan diri sendiri, lalu cuek akan derita sekitarnya. Astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Oh, astaga, hendak kemana semua ini? Bila kau muda sudah tak mau lagi peduli, muda putus asa dan kehilangan arah. Sementara yang lainnya hidup seenaknya, seakan waktu takkan pernah ada akhirnya. Hanya mengejar kepentingan diri sendiri, lalu cuek akan derita sekitarnya. Astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Oh, astaga, hendak kemana semua ini? Bila kau muda sudah tak mau lagi peduli, muda putus asa dan kehilangan arah. Kemana semua ini?
You've just listened to a song by Andy entitled Astaga or Oh My God. You're still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we'll give you the beauty of Indonesian nature, tourism information in our program, Indonesian Wonder. Stay tuned. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Batu Bolong Temple in West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Batu Bolong Temple is one of tourism objects in Lombok Coast and built on black stone. The location of the temple is very strategic. It is located at Batu Bolong Hamlet, Batu Layar District, West Lombok, around 5 minutes from tourism center of Senggigi Island or 20 minutes from Mataram City. According to history, Batu Bolong Temple was built in 1533 by an ascetic named Dang Hyang Duijandra from this Java when he spread out Hindu from Java Island to Bali Island, and the last destination was Lombok Island. The name of the temple is taken from shape of the black stone where the temple was built. The big stone with hill shape has a hole. In the past, the hall was an access for local people to look for wood at Senggigi Forest, before Artery Street was built on the slope of the hills which connects West and North Lombok Regency. If seawater is in low tide, you can be through the hole, which is like cave, and around 5 meters on foot, you will directly arrive at Duduk Beach, the long beach where there is no building surrounding the beach, except small stalls. To enter the temple complex, you have to pay for 15,000 rupiahs to 20,000 rupiahs for donation. The doorman will give you a yellow shawl, which is tied on your waist, as appreciation that you are the guest of the temple. When entering the temple, you should not be too noisy, because it is a worship place. Surrounding Batu Bolong Temple, there are provided many lodgings if you want to enjoy longer the beauty of the nature surrounding the temple. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Just listen to a song by Bara Suara, and it was titled Sendu Melagu, or The Sadness. I hope you enjoyed the song, and for the next segment, we give you a program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabularies and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Cuti Akhir Tahun, or in English, End of Year Leave. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about cuti akhir tahun. Tony and Joko are talking the plan for vacation during the leave.
Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan.
Syukurlah. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti?
2 minggu.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Awal, which means early. Akhir, which means end. Tengah, which means middle or mid. Berangkat, which means to leave. Berjemur, which means to sunbath. Akhirnya aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan, which means finally I can take leave at the end of this year and early next year. Syukurlah, which means thanks God. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti? Berapa lama kamu akan cuti? Which means how long will you leave? 2 minggu. Which means 2 weeks. Akhir bulan. Which means end of month. Berlibur. Which means on vacation. Awal bulan depan. Which means early next month. Liburan akhir semester. Which means end semester holiday. Tengah semester. Which means mid semester. Tengah malam. Which means midnight. Tengah hari. Which means noon. Saya or aku, which means I. Mereka, which means they. In the dialogue, Joko said, akhirnya aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan, which means finally I can take leave at the end of this year and early next year. In the expression, there are 2 words awal and akhir. The two words can be combined with a word that shows time, such as minggu or week, bulan or month, semester or semester, and tahun or year. Now let's follow the examples of the use of the words. Saya akan cuti pada akhir bulan ini. In English, I will leave next month. Kami akan berlibur pada awal bulan depan. In English, we will have vacation next month. Sebentar lagi, kita akan liburan akhir semester. In English, we will have an end semester holiday soon. Kamu akan kemana akhir minggu ini? In English, where are you going this weekend? Mereka akan berangkat pada tengah malam nanti. In English, they will go at midnight. Aku tidak mau berjemur pada tengah hari. In English, I do not want to sunbathe at noon. Pada tengah semester ini, tidak ada liburan. In English, there is no holiday at mid-semester. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan.
Syukurlah. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti?
2 minggu.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Shut up, guys.
a song titled Coba Katakan Dengan Cinta, Try to Say with Love by The Essentials of Groove. You're still with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia. And for the next segment, let's listen to Indonesian song in our program Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a Keroncong song. The title of the song is Sebelum Aku Mati. The song was composed by Gesang, an Indonesian Keroncong maestro. The song describes the great love to the country, so that someone insists to give a great thing to the nation before he or she dies. The original Keroncong song Sebelum Aku Mati is re-sung in Keroncong genre with a little bit different arrangement. Well, listener, here is Hendri Rotinsulu with the song Sebelum Aku Mati. Happy listening.
Panggilan abadi. kebebasan. Berulang ingin bertemu, aku punya perasaan. Nampaknya kau tak mengerti. Tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku yang jatuh cinta. Aku selalu menemani saat kau rapuh dan jatuh. Namun saat kau bahagia, nampaknya ku terlupakan. Tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku yang jatuh cinta. Ingin aku jadi kekasih yang baik, berikan aku kesempatan. Oh, tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari yang jatuh cinta. Dan aku mencintamu, tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku sungguh jatuh cinta. Bukan ku tanpa alasan.
Risau hatiku, apa yang telah engkau lakukan padaku, peluk diriku. Ku ingin engkau tetap di sini. Lepaskan semua kenangan ini dariku. Hanyalah waktu yang dapat menjawab semua ini. Untukku berjanjilah, berjanjilah. Takut kehilangan cinta.
Listener, thank you for joining our program that you can also access at our website at www.voinews.id. Please give us your comments and suggestions to our email address, voi@voinews.id. I'm Amanda. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. See you.